Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University Audio Presentation of the Month. This monthly CD and web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each month, a different national speaker or business owner shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. If your total marketing program is Yellow Pages, it's time for a change. This program will overview 10 sources of free or at least cheap marketing that every company can utilize for very little time or money. Who better to learn these marketing tips from than someone who's applied them and therefore knows they work, which in this case is Debbie Sardone. Local business owner and global business consultant, Flower Mound resident Debbie Sardone has launched 5 successful businesses, including the national nonprofit Cleaning for a Reason. In demand as a popular speaker, author, and service business consultant, Debbie helps cash-strapped people start and grow their business, overcome common obstacles, and create legendary service while enjoying their entrepreneurial journey. Her expert advice is specific and relevant, no matter what stage of business you're in. So do yourself a favor, get a pad of paper and a pencil, find a comfortable place to sit, and prepare to take notes on all kinds of practical and inexpensive ways to market your company. Oh, and by the way, be sure to download Debbie's PDF of the presentation. We think you'll find her detailed outline of the presentation very helpful.
I'm Debbie Sardone, and I've owned Buckets and Bows Maid Service in a suburb of Dallas, Texas for over 30 years. And of course, we've cleaned thousands of homes and hundreds of thousands of toilets over the last 32 years. We have over 40 employees, over 500 regular customers, upwards of about 680 that use us throughout the year. And we've done a lot of service over the years. And when you have a large customer base, you have to be able to replace the ones that are leaving. And marketing is expensive, and it's more expensive now to get a customer than it ever has been before. A lot of businesses are reporting, if they know how to track this and understand how to figure out their customer acquisition costs, a lot of businesses are reporting upwards of $300 to $400 in marketing expense to acquire a repeat customer. That's not just the one-time customers. Oftentimes you can acquire a one-time customer from anywhere from $100 to $200 in marketing. But I know in the cleaning industry, the house cleaning industry, it's usually costing around $300. If you have a large company and you have to add a lot of customers every month and you're doing a lot of marketing, then your per customer rate is going to go up. It's always cheaper per customer when you have a small company and you only need a handful of new customers every month to grow, because you're able to avail yourself to lower cost marketing when you only need 2 or 3. But when you need to add 20 or 25 new customers a month, then all those low cost like referral sources and very inexpensive marketing that does produce, well, it's just not enough. So you have to branch out. You have to spend money here and spend money there and do some branding and do some PR work. And it does get more expensive. The bigger your company, the more expensive it can be per customer. But because marketing costs more and more per customer, and aren't we all trying to get regular repeat customers? I mean, we understand we should be able to make money off of a one-time customer, but most of us can't build a business off one-time customers. And there are a lot of people that have signed up for this workshop that are in various industries, plumbers and dry cleaners and realtors, air conditioning people, plumbers. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. Most of us don't want to try to build our business on one-off customers. Even carpet cleaning, people think of carpet cleaning, people do that once. They might do it once a year, but you should be able to turn your carpet cleaning customers into repeat customers. You should be able to turn that once-a-year customer into twice-a-year. And some of those twice-a-year customers into 3 times a year, if you are working those customers and turning them into regular repeat customers. And so the cost of getting a regular repeat customer is more expensive now than it ever has been, I know, in the history of my business. upwards of $300 to $400 in marketing cost is not uncommon at all. So, of course, there are no free lunches. We all understand that phrase. There's no free lunches, but you can get some free marketing if you're willing to trade time for dollars. And, you know, what I mean in that is it's going to cost your time if you don't have to write a check for the marketing. It's going to create some time in your schedule, in your busy business. You're going to have to set aside a specific time to do what I call shoe leather marketing. And that's when, whether it's because you're a startup or you're a seasoned business owner and you're struggling for whatever reason, cash flow is at an all-time low, expenses are at an all-time high, and for whatever reason, you have more time than you have dollars. And usually that's a startup business, somebody that still just doesn't have enough customers to really pay the bills. I call this shoe leather marketing, where you take time, not so much money, but you take your time or maybe your employee's time, and you do your marketing through hitting the pavement, knocking on the doors, attending networking meetings, and so forth. And so even though you may not be paying out of your pocket, you will be spending time to do marketing that is extremely low cost or completely free. So I wrote down 10 things that I have found over the years that have proven to be phenomenal sources for bringing customers and revenue into my business. And even though I own a house cleaning business, we're one of the largest maid services in the country, and these principles transcend to any business, even if you're retail. Of course, it definitely applies in almost every area for any service business. And like I said, it doesn't matter if you're in plumbing or AC or you clean carpets or you hold events. It doesn't matter. These principles will apply. You just have to apply them differently than I would apply them. So I'll give you some examples and scenarios, and hopefully you'll be on your way to getting some low-cost or free marketing here after today's workshop. Number one, this is one of my favorites, and a lot of people give up on this way too early, networking. Networking has a bad taste in many people's mouths who have tried it, and if you could see me, I'm putting that in quotes, who have tried networking and said it doesn't work, or it doesn't really work for my industry. There is a rare industry that networking does not work. It is a rare industry, and especially if you have a local business, not necessarily a national business, but you have a local business and you service local accounts, networking is absolutely a powerful tool. And I think most people give up on networking and they say, well, it just doesn't work, because you don't know how it's supposed to work. I know in the early days of my business, I really did not understand how networking should work for my business. And I gave up on it years ago. I mean, I went to networking, like Chamber of Commerce meetings, regularly for, you know, a few years in the early days of my business. And I dropped out after a while. Number one, as I became busier and busier and busier in my business, I didn't have time for everything, and I felt like that was a low-producing time sucker for me, and I dropped out of networking. And I think that was a mistake, and I did get back into it quite a few years ago, and I was worried that, oh, no, it's too late. You know, they already know the local cleaning company in this networking environment, and I'm not going to be able to worm my way back in to this community. And it wasn't long before I was the top cleaning service, always attending the networking meetings and being known and connecting with people, and they're spreading the word about my company, and the other business doesn't even attend very often. So it's never too late to start networking, but you should start networking early. And by networking, I would say join a busy Chamber of Commerce, a meetup group, a NetWeavers, or a BNI group. And it's not worth your time to join something that only has 11 people that attend. I'm talking about networking events that have a pretty full room of contacts. You know, 30 or 40 is always ideal. And what's interesting is those 30 to 40 people are always changing out. It's not the same insurance guy and the same realtor and the same website developer that attends those. They come for a few months, get discouraged, drop out, never come again. Then some other business comes, gets dropped. But you can be the one that's always there, faithfully attending. But like I said, people don't understand how networking is supposed to work, and therefore they give up too soon. Let me tell you what I've learned through my networking experiences. Number one, most people attend a networking meeting, and in my opinion, they're poorly trained on how to present themselves and their business. They stand up week after week. They say the same thing week after week. Hi, I'm Joe Blow, and I am the financial planner. If you know someone in the area that has a 401k and is looking to invest that, I hope you'll refer me. And they say the same thing every week, as if it was their first time and no one in the room had ever heard of them. And I always find that comical. They just repeat the same thing over and over. Now, there is something to be said about their loyalty and their longevity, and I do believe they get referrals. But they're boring. And they've also been taught by other organizations to stand up and tell the audience what you need and what you want. I always cringe when I hear a business owner at a networking meeting stand up, and some of you on this call are going to be able to go, oh, that's me. But they stand up at a networking meeting, and they say, hi, I'm Debbie Sardone, and I own Buckets and Bows Maid Service, and a good referral for me today is, and you start telling them what you want. I think that's a huge mistake. That violates every principle of selling and relationship building that you could ever imagine. Networking and selling is about giving to others. And so when you network, and it's all about you, it's all about what I need, because you know they're going to stand up and say what they need, and the next person is going to stand up and say what they need, the mistake is made that everybody in the room is really just sitting there waiting for their turn. They could care less about you, because they don't care about what you need. They are there because they need something. So the biggest mistake people make in networking is talking about what they need and what they want and how you can help them. Networking is all about you standing up and telling how you can solve their problems, how you can help their business grow, how you can help them get more referrals. Then people want to talk to you. Then people want to have a one-to-one meeting with you. And so remember that basic principle that when you're networking, it should be about what you can do for others and not about what they can do for you, because they will zone out and start focusing on what they're going to say next. That's my biggest pet peeve. Another thing about networking is understand that audience is not necessarily your customer. Now, oftentimes, depending on the industry you're in, they actually are your customers. They are the ones who will come see you if you're a dentist, or will approach you if they need a realtor. But oftentimes, the people in the networking meetings are not necessarily your customer prospects. Quite frankly, in the house cleaning industry, because we as professionals price at the top of the scale, my networking buddies don't necessarily hire our company. Unfortunately, they use a lot of the cheap competition, maybe the illegal labor. And so oftentimes that's the case. I'm not there to get their business. If I do, that's great, and I've gotten quite a few customers from networking. But that's not my goal. And because it was my goal years earlier, I dropped out. My goal is to be the number one source they refer to all their customers. You know, you got 40 people in that room, and every one of them have anywhere from 20 to 200 customers in all likelihood. I want their referrals. I don't care if I ever clean their house, but I want to clean their customers' houses. And I want to be the top-of-mind company that they think of when one of their customers says, I need a house cleaning service, or you know, I need a plumber. Is it your name that's going to be top of mind? I need a carpet cleaner. So the goal isn't to get them to use you, even though that's a nice little bonus. The goal is to get their referrals, to be top-of-mind awareness with other people in the community. People are always asking trusted sources, who do you know who does this? Who do you know that does that? Who do you know that fixes windows or repairs glass, or do you know a good hair salon? Do you have a great nail salon? All of those sources, not all of them, most of those sources are talked about and information is shared with one another. And if you are always present in those meetings, they can't forget you. If you joined, came three times, and never came back, they will never remember you. And so remember the whole purpose of networking. It also helps you get known. People will just know you as the industry expert, especially if you're very knowledgeable, and especially if you're not constantly talking about what you want and need. And then, of course, you need to make a very strong effort at meeting with people on one-to-ones. You're not going to get a lot of referrals if all you do is stand up, say the same thing every week, and then leave. Or sit by the same group of people because you become buddies with them, and you sit with the same people. You should sit at a different table every week, or every 2 weeks, or however often they meet. You should sit with different people every time. And you should wear your name badge. And you should engage them. Don't just sit there and drink your coffee and eat your eggs. Engage them. Hey, what do you do? How long have you been in business? Don't worry about trying to tell them everything about you. Find out all about them. Oh, really? Well, yeah, that's a company I could use. I need to refer you to my customers. People are always asking me if I know a good chimney sweep or whatever. So engage people. Don't just sit there and sit with the same friends and become buddies and never move around the room. And then the last thing I found in networking to be extremely helpful, because we get very busy in our businesses and we get focused and our nose to the grind, and we get focused on what we do every single day, and we kind of can lose touch with innovations, the newest cutting technology of what's out there. When you attend networking meetings, you're constantly surrounded by businesses who, of course, want your business. So you're going to find out the newest technology or who can make your website more mobile, cell phone friendly. Who can do search engine optimization? You know, most people are feeling around in the dark with SEO for their website. They're like, I don't know who to use, and this guy wants $500 a month, and that guy only wants $150 a month, and what's the difference? This is where you can connect with people who can maybe manage your Facebook or build your Facebook presence. So it's a great source for you in business to stay on top of the newest trends. So networking is one of my favorite of 10 things, and I'll try to move a little more quickly. Number two, affiliate marketing. And this is where you connect, usually through your networking meetings, with other businesses that are non-competitors but are very compatible with your business and other businesses that create benefit for your customers. Because the way you can be loved by your customers is to be an amazing source for them, an amazing trusted source for them. For instance, when I had a customer one day on the phone say, I need a chimney sweep, do you have a good one? It was powerful that I was able to say, absolutely. In fact, I even have a key to your house. How about I make that phone call to him and line it up, and we'll even meet them there because I know you're in Austin, out of town. And she was thrilled. She was delighted. I just solved the problem for my customer, who was a very loyal repeat customer, because I had a trusted source that I could refer and help her. And in this particular instance, we didn't really have a commission relationship with this affiliate. But you can create a monetary affiliate marketing relationship with these affiliates. So more than just benefiting your customers, here's an example. I met with a realtor recently, and he wants to refer our service to his customers who are closing on homes, who need their homes cleaned. And I said, well, every time you refer us to someone who becomes a repeat customer, we're going to give you a $150 gift card, and you can use it however you want. The realtor was thrilled. He can give that as a gift to a customer that, you know, has been exceptional or he made a really great commission off of, and that's a gift he doesn't have to pay money out of his pocket for. He just won that. He can use it to help soothe an upset customer who's angry about something. And so, you know, it's a great affiliate relationship. What I want from him is his referrals. I want, when he has a problem, that is a dirty house, I want him to always think of our company and refer us. And that's great for a carpet cleaner. So find who is a good fit for you. If you make messes in homes, if you're a remodeler, then work with a cleaning service. Work with a carpet cleaner. Another company I recently met with, and we're going to do some affiliate marketing, is a caterer, and he does weddings and events, and sometimes they need cleanups, and he's also adding a new service to his business, and that is on-call dinners. And that's what it's called, on-call dinners, but it's kind of like a dinner club. People can sign up and have dinners delivered. And we decided there's enormous cross-marketing opportunities for him to market our cleaning service to his clients, who are obviously high-end if they're having meals delivered, home-cooked meals delivered. And then I have an opportunity to refer him to my customers who would love to have a clean home and dinner cooked for them. So there's a great opportunity for this affiliate relationship. In this case, I don't want commissions from him. I just want referrals. So what we did was we have like 2,500 of those cute little like Tic Tac mints that are custom promotional items that have our logo wrapped around them. And so what I said is, how about we'll give you 500 of those. So your first 500 orders that you take with this new service of home-cooked meals delivered, put a package of mints in with every meal. So it costs him nothing. He's giving his customers a nice, tasty, fresh mint, and it's got my logo on it. Phenomenal opportunity for me to get some marketing out of him. And, of course, we buy those in bulk, so they don't cost us very much money at all. So affiliate marketing is very powerful. You can think of dozens of people in your community that you can create an affiliate relationship. And here's an opportunity where we make money off of affiliates. We used to work with a painter. And whenever we would do move-in, move-out cleans, we would often, as often as we'd remember, ask the customer, by the way, do you need a painter for your new house? And a lot of times they would say, yes, I do, actually. I was going to be calling someone next. And then we would say, and also, do you need your carpets cleaned? So not only did we clean the house, but we also would ask, do you need it painted and do you need your carpets cleaned? So we had affiliate relationships with a carpet cleaner, a window washer, and a painter. We made $2,400 cash commission off of a painter who had this affiliate relationship with us because he won a really big job that he got. We were doing the house cleaning. And we set up the carpet cleaning, which we got a commission off of, and we set up the painting, which we got the commission. So affiliate marketing is a powerful way to get your name out there, generate new revenue. Now, number three, this one's really interesting, and some people are afraid of this type of thing, but it's an incredible opportunity for free publicity. Hosting a charity fundraiser. I know in my business we've done had a lot of success with this, but there are restaurants in your community, I'd be willing to bet, that have a policy that if you want to do a fundraiser at their restaurant, you promote their restaurant. Let's say, for instance, we're doing one here in the next couple of weeks with a restaurant called Fuzzy's Tacos. And 10% of the sales of that entire day, if somebody comes in and brings the flyer, will go to the charity that we've chosen, that we're promoting. Well, the benefit to our company is it's another way to get our name out in the community. So we're going to have these flyers printed, and flyers are very, very cheap. And then we're just going to leave them at local business establishments. Well, of course, the flyers are going to say, you know, eat dinner at Fuzzy Tacos at such and such date. 10% of the sales of that day will go to our favorite charity, Cleaning for a Reason, which is the charity I started. And this event is sponsored by Buckets and Bows Maid Service. You know, if I tried to go to the car wash and the nail salon and the hair salon and I tried to say, hey, can I put my brochures for my business at your place of business? Most people are going to say no. They don't want to clutter up their counters. Why should I promote you? Every business in town would want me to give them free space on my counter. They're not going to say yes. But when I'm promoting a charitable opportunity and I happen to have my logo on it, every business will say yes to that. They're like, yeah, give me a stack. You know, so we can leave 500 at this business and 500 at that business and 500 at that business. And printing is cheap when you do volume. And the benefit is, number one, I'm tapping into their customers, the car wash, the high-end car wash, the high-end spa. I'm tapping into their customers, which is my demographic audience. I'm also nurturing a good feeling about my company because my logo is on this flyer that says, I am hosting this charitable event in my local town. This is just an easy one. This one's just easy. There are a lot of people that will hold charitable fundraisers that are quite complicated, like golf tournaments or a big fashion show, and they do very well, and they get an incredible amount of free publicity. There's a salon, a high-end hair salon in our town that's been holding an annual charitable event every year for probably the last 10 or 12 years, and they are extremely successful. They're in the paper constantly being interviewed about the upcoming event or interviewed about how it went when it's over or being interviewed about what's coming up next and what's the next thing they're doing. And this salon gets so much free publicity from holding these big charitable events. And, of course, it's time-consuming, but it's probably the biggest part of their marketing budget is the free publicity that they get out of it. And, again, she's a large enough company where she's not doing it all herself, and she has paid employees that are working these events and helping to make it happen, but it's less expensive than if you were just buying all this print advertising. And so a couple of things happen when you get involved in charitable fundraisers. You get the exposure, you create goodwill around your brand, and the miraculous thing is you really feel good about what you've just done, especially if it's a charity that's very meaningful to you. You have this wonderful feeling of inspiration and accomplishment, and your employees love being a part of something bigger than just their day-to-day job. So charitable fundraisers, great way to get some enormous amounts of publicity or a little bit of exposure. Number four, teach a class. Not everybody can do fundraisers. Not everybody feels comfortable in networking events. But teaching a class is a great way to get free marketing and free exposure and to establish your brand, especially if you're a new business and you know you're an expert at your craft. In the early days of my business, I had no idea how powerful this was, that I would hold seminars at the local adult community education classes that were held in our community. And I would hold speed cleaning classes. Believe it or not, people would fill the room. They would open the registration and my class would always fill up. Mostly women, but occasionally there'd be men in the class. They want to hear about cleaning. That was an area of interest. And, you know, in the early days of my business, I would ask myself, why am I teaching these classes? I'm teaching people how to clean their house. And I had no idea that really what I was doing is I was establishing my business and myself as the expert in my community, as the go-to person of anything house cleaning. And I didn't realize that in the early days. I just knew it was good for my business. I knew it was good for me to teach a class and to do that. I would do it once a quarter, and I did it once a quarter for many years until I got too busy and kind of dropped off. But I eventually stopped doing it as I got busy and my business grew, and I felt like, well, that's another waste of time. I never get a customer out of it. But what I discovered over the years is I would talk with people years down the road that maybe hired my service or referred my service that said, oh, I was in your class 2 years ago, or I was in your class 5 years ago. And when they were ready to hire a service and they were looking through the ValPak envelope for a cleaning service, they remembered mine because I taught the class and I got the job. And so teaching a class is powerful. It establishes you as the expert. It does get your name out. It is good branding. You usually get free publicity out of it because they have to promote the class, and so they're going to name your company. It's extremely powerful. And then most of all, in my opinion, it makes you memorable. People will remember the expert. People will remember when you gave them information that they needed. Okay, number five, follow-up. Follow-up is the cheapest way to get new customers. You know, we spend all this time and energy trying to get a new customer, and we don't even follow up with the ones that got away. We don't even follow up with the maybes. Most businesses are so busy running to the next prospect that they don't work the gold mine of people who said maybe or people who said no. But no is never no forever. For some people, no is only no for now. And if you would just call on them 2 months later, you might have gotten their business. And so working the ones that got away, working the ones that started to hire you but for whatever reason didn't. Maybe timing was bad for them. Maybe the expenses were too high for them personally. Maybe they weren't really ready. Maybe they were doing research, and that's why they were a maybe, and you never followed up. I can't tell you how many times I did not hire a business who I was interested in hiring for my own personal home simply because they never got back with me. You know, you have somebody come out and do an estimate, and they give you a price, and you're like, well, let me think about it. And, you know, a week or two goes by, and you realize, oh, they never called me. And, of course, the owner of the business is thinking, oh, I guess she's a no. She never called me. Why on earth would anybody wait for them to call you? You should be calling them. And the ones that said no should hear from you in a couple of months. So working and doing follow-ups on the ones that got away, mining that gold mine of prospects. The reason why they're a gold mine of prospects is they've already showed an interest in you once. When somebody says, hey, I'd like to book you for a job, and then it never happens, that isn't a lost sale. That's you not following up. In most cases, if you'll follow up until they tell you to leave them alone, you will eventually get a certain percentage of those prospects that got away, those maybes. Here's a very sad example. My husband recently bought a truck. He just bought a truck about a week and a half ago. And he had been working with a very young salesman at a dealership. And I guess he's just so inexperienced. He never called my husband. You know, my husband said, well, I got to do some research. I got to decide what I want. And I'm going to go back and study. But my husband was a buyer. He just hadn't decided what color and what model. This kid never called him. I mean, this is an expensive purchase to buy a vehicle. And he never called him. He never called to say, hey, I happen to have such and such on the lot today, and I've been authorized to give you this really great deal. You want to come by and test drive it? He never asked for his business. He waited for my husband to call. This guy still doesn't know that my husband has already bought his vehicle. He has no clue. He might call him. Who knows? I suspect he never will. He probably could have made the sale, but my husband went elsewhere to go see a different colored vehicle, and that salesman did a good job and closed the deal pretty much right there on the spot. What a crazy lost opportunity. He just didn't follow up. All right, number six. This is close to the same thing, but different. Win backs. Most of us are not putting effort into winning back a lost account. We think, well, if they wanted us back, they'd come back because they know us. They know what we charge. That's not true. You know, people will forget who they used a year ago, even if they used you for quite a while. If a year or two passes, they won't even remember, now, what company was that that came out and did that? And they'll be looking through the mailer, the Clipper magazine, or whatever postcard came in the mail, and they'll say, oh, we need that. And they'll hire your competition. They couldn't remember you, or your competition is knocking on their door with their postcard with a better offer, and you're offering nothing. We should be working our win-backs. We should have a follow-up program that is systematic and automatic, because when we get busy as business owners, we just have all these great intentions, and then we have no follow-through. And so in order to win back lost customers on a regular basis instead of, oh, I'm just reacting to a crisis, I got to go work my win-backs. I'm talking about regularly trying to win back customers you were lost. You have to put a system in place. And so it can be simple. It can be, you know, 1 month after they leave our service, we mail a postcard. The 60 days after they leave our service, we mail a letter. And then 90 days after they leave our service, we place a phone call. You know, whatever your industry, whatever fits your industry, you have to come up with it. But it needs to be simple so that you can follow through. If it's complicated and laborious, nobody will have time for it. So you print up, you know, 500 postcards that say, we really miss you. We want you back. We're going to offer a fantastic deal for 30 days only if you call us by this date, and maybe you can write it in. And every customer you lose, you schedule in 30 days, I'm going to mail this postcard. And then you already have this great letter that's already written and printed, and in 60 days I'm going to mail them this letter with this gift certificate inside that says, please use this gift or certificate. We really want you back. Your second service back with us is free, or, you know, whatever makes sense. But if you don't have a process and a system in place, you won't have time to work your win-backs. There's a gold mine in your win-backs. There's a gold mine in your follow-ups. Instead, we're throwing money and time at trying to win the next customer when we have these two groups that we're neglecting. And they're the most likely to give you money. They've already demonstrated in the past that they trust you enough to hire you. So why aren't we working them harder than ever to win them back? Okay, number 7, free and cheap sources of marketing, social media. I know everybody's talking about it, but very few people that are in a tradesmen or trade industries are utilizing social media. And, you know, they dabble on it. They have a Facebook page, and they have 150 fans. Well, 150 people listening to you, and, you know, 25 of them are out of your area. You know, it's your mom, your sister, your cousin, your nephew. You've got to build your fan base, and you've got to post regularly if you're going to use social media. Sources like Pinterest have proven to be extremely powerful, especially with the female community. And then Facebook, and, of course, LinkedIn. All of those sources, don't think, well, you know, I'm not going to get up on all that. I don't know anything about it. You're going to be left behind. We have to continually innovate, or we will be left behind as businesses. If it's not your thing, then get someone on your staff where it is your thing. And then go study somebody else's successful Facebook business page and see what they're doing that's causing them to have 10,000 likes. Or 20,000 likes, or 900 likes, or whatever it is you're trying to get in your community. But if you don't have enough people who are fans of your page, then when you do post, there's nobody seeing it. So these are free sources. You can post offers, and, of course, you want to utilize the Internet to study up on what's the best ways to engage an audience and get people to share your post and like your post, because then that gets you more fans. There are certain principles. You should never just post offers and deals and sales and specials. That will irritate people. You need to use a combination of something funny, usually related to your industry. So I love to post funny things about house cleaning. You know, we have this cute picture that says, when she said I do, she did not mean floors. You know, you can post funny things and then something educational or inspirational and then an offer. So usually 3 or 4 posts, one or two times a day, should be just something entertaining, maybe a great tip about how to weatherize your plumbing, or, you know, whatever. A great tip, inspirational, funny, educational, and then a deal. You know, Tuesdays only, we've got 10% off if you book for a Tuesday appointment or whatever. Just don't bombard them with advertising, or they will unlike you. So social media, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Facebook, and, of course, a lot of people use Twitter and some of the others, but these are some of the most powerful. Okay, number 8, free publicity. And you can get a lot of free publicity up as if you're putting together a charity fundraiser. Most of us are not going to put together a big enough charity fundraiser to get free publicity. So you can still get free publicity as a business owner. A couple of things that I've done over the years that have been very strong is submit articles to local newspapers. Oftentimes they're looking for content by experts, and it can't be salesy, but it's giving the public tips. You know, if I'm a realtor, I can be submitting articles on how to get top dollar for your house, and not a bunch of salesy stuff, but things like declutter, number 2, thoroughly clean, number 3, remove too many personal items like pictures. You know, give tips, write articles, benefit the public around your industry. Submit them to local publications. In most cases, they will publish them for you, especially if you build a relationship with the local editor, which I've done. I've also done this with magazines, high-end magazines that were in my local community, I would have had to pay $500 for that size ad space. Instead, I was able to submit an article and got a full-page exposure for my business, and then obviously helping spread my brand and my expertise and whatever. If you're comfortable and you don't mind talking to the media, you can call the media whenever there's some kind of a hype in the media. For instance, I've done quite a few radio interviews about keeping the workplace clean and germ-free during flu season. And during the height of flu season, you'll notice that's all the media wants to talk about is the flu and the germs and how people spread germs and how to overcome the flu. And they just talk nonstop about this stuff. And so as an expert, I can offer my expert advice on, you know, how to keep the workplace clean or how you can sanitize the home when people have been sick. So you can reach out to the media and get some free publicity and free exposure if you're strategic and, you're comfortable doing that. PSAs. Radio stations are required by the Federal Trade Commission to post public service announcements. Oftentimes these are 5-minute, 1-minute, and even 30-minute radio time. And so they'll interview experts, doctors, lawyers, giving the public educational information. And those oftentimes will be aired at odd times, but it's still in your local community. And you can offer expert advice, as long as it's not a selling pitch, to the local radio networks who need to fill their public service announcement time. And if you're comfortable doing that, that's free publicity. It costs you nothing but maybe 20 minutes of your time or 5 minutes of your time. I did like 16 back-to-back radio interviews a few weeks ago during the height of flu season about how one sick worker who thinks he's doing his boss a favor by coming to work sick because he's so loyal he doesn't stay home can contaminate half the office by noon, and what you can do about minimizing germs in the office when you know people are working sick when they should have stayed home. I did 16 little 2-, 3-, and 4-minute interviews on a Monday morning between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. because that's a hot topic. Okay, number 9, cultivate referrals. This is that other gold mine that people don't work. Most business owners aren't working their existing happy customers that are using them regularly to get them the next customer. Most of us are just reacting or responding to our wonderful customer who sends us a referral, and we respond. Oh, thank you so much. Let me give you a gift card. Oh, thank you so much. Let me take $20 off your service for that referral. You know, we're reacting. We're not creating. We're not actively pursuing referrals. There's a gold mine in cultivating referrals instead of just responding with a thank you. And be generous. And so you need to regularly remind your customers that you really would love to help their friends. It's not about you. It's not about what you want. Remember, it's not what you can do for me or how you can help me. It's how I can help your friends too. It's how I can help people you know have this great service that I have to offer. And you can phrase it, you know, in a wonderful, tactful way. But your customers need to be reminded often that you reward very generously for referrals and that you would love to help out the people that they know. And if they hear from you often enough as a reminder, you will get more referrals. And then be generous. You know, figure out what is the lifetime value of your customer or the average lifetime value of your customer. If you don't know what that is, you don't know how to generously bonus your referring customers. You know, a cleaning service might charge $200 to $300 for a first-time cleaning. And so a lot of cleaning services will see that as, well, you know, I only charge $200 to $300 for that cleaning. I can't give away $100 for that referral. I'm looking at the lifetime value of the customer who had their home cleaned and the likelihood that they're going to go on and become a regular repeat customer. If that customer becomes a regular repeat customer, they're going to average a good $3,000 or more a year to my business. So why would I just give $20 off to my referring customer? It's not a very generous reward. It's not terribly motivating. They really only referred you because they were trying to help their friend. They weren't thinking, oh, if I refer my service, I'm going to get $20 off my next cleaning. But when people know that every time they refer you, they'll get a free house cleaning or a $150 gift card to, you know, their favorite restaurant or whatever, and it's a generous referral, and you have to work the numbers and know what it costs you to obtain a new customer and know what your revenue potential is for a regular repeat customer so you can build your bonus or your compensation around numbers that make sense for your business. But I know for my business, it makes perfect sense to give my referring customer who sends me a repeat customer $100 to $150 free cleaning. And it's a whole lot more generous than $20 discount off their next cleaning. So remind them often. You can leave flyers. You can send emails. You can post on Facebook. This is what we do for referrals during the month of February. I know one year we did, during the month of February, every time you refer us, you get $100 free cleaning and a dozen roses. And we did that throughout the month of February just to kind of create some urgency. And then I think the next month we did something like, you know, refer us this month, get a free cleaning, $100 free cleaning, and get a $50 gift card to Macaroni Grill. You know, just to kind of create a little bit of difference. Is it really the Macaroni Grill gift card that made them refer me? No. Is it the free cleaning they're going to get that made them refer me? No. But it's the reminder constantly, hey, refer us, and when you do, we'll reward you. So it's that constant reminder about referrals. Oh, yeah, there is a, my neighbor was asking me if I knew of a good service the other day. So, or they would probably mention you if the neighbor asked, but they might go and volunteer to their neighbor who hasn't asked. Hey, do you have a good cleaning service? Because I have a great one. No, I don't. I've been thinking about using a service. And so it will create a more proactive approach on your customer's side to actually get you some referrals if you just keep reminding them. I don't mean hound them, and I don't mean nag them or oversell them. But if you just keep reminding them that you appreciate their referrals so much, you reward generously, people will remember. I think it's mostly they just forget to bring up the fact that, hey, I know a great realtor, I know a great plumber, I know a great cleaning service. Do you have one? And then number 10, the very last one, is my all-time favorite. You can call this free marketing. I would call it cheap marketing. Is email marketing. And you can sign up with a company called Constant Contacts. It's not entirely free. I think your first 500 contacts will cost you like $15 a month. And then once you upload or have more than 500, it can go to like 20 or 30 a month. And it goes up from there. I have like 4,000 names in my local database for my cleaning service. We have over 15,000 names in Constant Contact of one of my other businesses. So, you know, the bigger your list, the better your response. But what I love about email marketing is it's an instant way for you to connect with your customers. When you need something, when you need to fill light days, when you need to fill empty spots, when you need to keep some staff busy that's already on payroll anyway, so any nickel that comes in is going to help, email marketing is a powerful tool for an instant opportunity to connect with your customers to say, hey, it's Monday. We have two openings only. The first two people to respond, you will get blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. I can't tell you how many times I've done that in our business, our cleaning service. We would send out a last-minute email campaign, maybe on a Wednesday, and it would go out like at 6 a.m. that says we have two spots available today. We'd like to give our staff some extra work, and we'd like to offer you a discount. If you've never used our service before, book a cleaning today and enjoy a bottle of wine on us, and we can give them a gift certificate to the local wine store for a $25 bottle of wine. Or book today, and your second cleaning will be half price. Or book today, and take $30 off when maybe normally you only do $10 off. I remember one campaign I sent out, a last-minute campaign, an email campaign. And again, I have thousands on my list, so it's not going out to 200 people. Your percentage, your opportunity for people to respond is going to go up if you have a bigger list. But I sent out an email campaign right around back to school time, and it was called Mom's Back to School Special, and get a maid, a massage, and a Merlot. Book a spring cleaning today or tomorrow only. I only have 6 spots left, first come, first served. It was like a crazy scramble. We sold every spot. We made like $2,000 off of spots that would have been unsold. Our staff would have gone without work those days because it was too late to fill them. And, you know, these spring cleanings are like $350 and $400 with our company. And so we had a barter relationship with a massage company. So the massages only cost us half price. We gave them a gift certificate for a massage. Cost us about $25. And we gave gift certificates to the local wine store, little boutique wine store, where they could go and redeem for their bottle of Merlot. So they got their maid, their massage, and their Merlot. And they loved it. It was the mom's back-to-school event. And they loved it, and they responded. And, of course, some of those people were retained as regular repeat customers. It's fast. It's instant. Now, you don't want to just sell when you have an email campaign that you're trying to do. You don't want to just send out offers. It's a good idea to at least contact them no less than once a month. Somewhere around twice a month is ideal, maybe 3 times a month if your audience is the right kind of audience for 3 times a month emails. And mix in like tips, maybe some funny stuff, just like your social media, maybe some educational things, maybe some news and updates. If you were featured on the radio, you can put a link there. If you were interviewed on TV, you can put your YouTube link there. So your customers, they want to know what you're doing. The charitable event that you're holding, you can put all that in, kind of like an online newsletter. And then, of course, at the bottom is your offer. Take 10% off if you book by Friday or whatever it is. It's powerful. And, of course, there are strategies for making your email campaigns much more successful. I teach a whole 2-hour workshop alone on how to write successful email campaigns and how to build your email list quickly. So that's a whole other subject that has really nothing to do with just the marketing aspect of it. But as number 10, my favorite one is email marketing. It's extremely low cost. And if you're good at getting emails from every one of your customers, you have an opportunity to reach out to them on a regular basis. The best thing about our emails is every customer who gets away, who has had an in-home estimate, who said, no, thank you, I'm going to hire your competitor, we have their email address. And most of the people that call in who inquire about our service, we get their email address. And so we've built our email with a large database of prospects who were already interested. I mean, the reason why we have their emails, they were interested in buying from us. And for whatever reason, they didn't. And so we get to continually remind them, hey, you should have hired us. Hey, we don't break stuff. So if they did hire my cheaper competition, 2-3 months down the road, they keep getting emails from me, specials, deals, this, that, news, updates, what we're doing with our charity. All that front of mind, they're like, you know what, I'm fed up with that cheap service I hired. I think I am going to give them a try after all. And so it's powerful, powerful, low-cost way to turn those prospects and visitors to your website who signed up to be in your newsletters because they wanted this free survey that you offer or whatever it is you're going to get them to give you their email. It's a powerful tool to keep reaching out to them and keep reminding them that you're the service they should have hired. You're the service that offers the best deal, and you do all these extra things that nobody else does, and blah, 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 blah. So email marketing happens to be my favorite one. And I hope this was helpful. I hope you will go out and get some new customers and spend less money than you ever have. Just spend some time. As you grow and have the ability to staff some of this, this can move off of your plate, and it's not your shoe leather. It's maybe somebody you're paying. It still keeps your costs down along with all your other paid marketing, which is expensive, your print marketing, your TV commercials, and whatever. So this should help keep your costs down. It should help you when money is tight and you have more time than you have customers and you have more time than you have money.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. The Small Business University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.